All right, I want you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. We're going to look at four passages in the book of Romans. Great opportunity for a charge both to the candidate and also to the church. Recognize our continued responsibility. But in Romans chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 14, and then we'll skip over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. I am debtor. I want you to underline those three words. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now go over to chapter 8. Chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Underline that. He said, I am debtor, back in chapter 1. Here he says, we are debtors. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye lived after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Go over to chapter 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I can wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You see somewhat in those verses of the burden for Brother Yu, for his kinsmen according to the flesh, for the Korean people, as they get ready to go back to Korea, or go to Korea. Look at Romans chapter 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. As I preach this message, and we can look at all that God has done at Madison Baptist Church, all the people He's called out from us, all the money that we have sent to missionaries around the world, all the different things that we have done here to try to get the gospel out around here and get people saved around here. We have not paid our debt. We are still debtors. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, again, we marvel at what you have done in this place. I know the preacher didn't do it. God, it's had to be you. It's the only possible way it could be explained that you have moved upon hearts. You have called people out of our midst. We're honored that you would bless us in that way. And Lord, we recognize that it's all of our God. Now, Father, may we not lose the burden. May we never get used to times like this when we send out another of our own to go to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we also not allow our responsibility to be transferred upon them. No matter how many we send out, we still have a responsibility that we are supposed to keep. Now have your way in our lives tonight, and Father, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, we can go around the world just thinking of different missionaries, and right now, for sake of time, I'm just thinking of those that are out of Madison Baptist Church. Obviously, we support another 90, 100 missionaries that are from other churches around America that are out spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ in different countries around the world. But just looking at those that are out from Madison Baptist Church, you remember that for here, the first seven missionaries that went out went to the country of Uganda. And then God began to move people to go to other places. Now, you remember in the early days, our mission board was called East Africa Outreach. Well, the first seven missionaries went to East Africa, Uganda being in East Africa. And then David Lewis blew up everything by going to Korea, which if you look at your globe, East Africa is nowhere close to Korea. So we changed the name to Madison Baptist Church World Missions. And since then, we've had people go out to numbers of places, French Equatorial Guinea, Burkina Faso. We've got four families over in Spain. We've got people down in Mexico, people in Guatemala. I mean, we've just got people in a lot of different places just simply out of Madison Baptist Church. I think of Brother Davidson, who preaches in the prisons. And my, what a need that is there. And they just don't go in and preach. They visit these fellas, even in their cells where they can, to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is amazing. Now, we look at these people and we wonder what moves them to leave their home, to leave their home church, to leave a lot of things behind. In many cases, unlike Michael's, to go to a country that they're not from and know really not much about except for what they've read about. But God has laid upon their heart a burden to reach those people with the gospel of Christ. What would motivate them to leave family, to leave friends, and to be gone? Well, not like it was 100 years ago, where when missionaries left, they might not ever see their families again. It would take several months just to get to the mission field. It would take a long time to get a letter back and forth. Today, we can get on Skype or we can get on FaceTime and we can contact them and see them. That didn't used to be that way. We've got it so much easier today than they had it back then. Nevertheless, there is still a sacrifice that's involved. And I believe the Apostle Paul gives us some insight into the type of thinking that goes on in the heart of people who are willing to make these kinds of sacrifices, especially as we read in this passage when he says, I am debtor. Now, coming out of a generation like ours, you know, the Bible, or not the Bible, but the psychologists call our last generation the me generation. This generation, they call Generation X because they can't figure out what they think about anything. I mean, basically, you take the greatest generation of the World War II generation that were willing to sacrifice anything for freedom to the me generation where it's all about them and what they can get from others. No appreciation for their parents in many cases. In spite of the fact the parents gave them life and gave them food and gave them shelter and all that, they don't think they owe their parents anything. But to continue to support them even up into their 40s and 50s and 60s. To where this generation, it's not how much have you given me, but what have you done for me lately? And if you're not taking care of me now, what's wrong with you? And we put that on society and everything else. But to have a people who come to this realization, wait a second, God has done something in my life and I am a debtor. I have some responsibility, and I submit to you that we all are debtors. You realize that the first step of heathenism, as found for us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, notice what it says. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Today, most people who claim to be saved want a God that requires nothing of them. Let me live my life like I want to live my life and don't expect anything from me. After all, I didn't ask to be here. Thank you for saving me, but I don't want to be bothered. But then there's people who really get to know Him. And when you really get to know Him, there is that desire to serve Him and to live for Him. So Paul would say, I am debtor. And then he would expand that writing to the Roman church. And he says, we are debtors. Now, the Roman church, that's an interesting church. In chapter 16, when he gives salutations to the different people at Rome, he says a number of good things about them. But later, when he's been imprisoned and he's writing back to the church at Philippi, he's needing to send somebody back to those people to find out how they're doing. The one man that was in that church that was a continual blessing to him was Timothy. And yet, he couldn't send one of the others from the Roman church. He had to send Timothy, the one that was the biggest help for him. Because as he says in Philippians chapter 2, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Now get this. And then he says, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Imagine that out of an entire church. All seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, we often get selfish the same way. I submit to you that honest people pay their debts, and we are debtors. Now, you might ask the question, why are we debtors? Well, it's a good opportunity to be reminded why we're debtors. Number one, because of what we are and what we deserve. But the Bible says there is no difference, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, that we are sinners in the sight of a holy God, and we all deserve to die and be cast into the lake of fire. When you begin to realize what you really were in the sight of God as a sinner, deserving the judgment of a holy God in heaven, and what He did so that you wouldn't get that judgment, so that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell, so that you could have eternal life. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul made it very personal in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, when he said He loved me and gave Himself for me. He paid our sin debt. He suffered our death. He took the wrath that should have been upon us and took it Himself on the cross of Calvary. That's why He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? At that point, when God placed all of our sin upon His Son, He had to turn His own back on His Son, as the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Apostle Paul, later sharing his testimony, says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, how that Christ died for sinners, of whom I am chief. And then he goes into a about four verse praise time, just exalting the great God who loved him enough to save him. So here we were, sinners deserving hell. God paid the sin debt, for the wages of sin is death, in His own Son at Calvary. It was a debt that we could never pay. The songwriter put it this way. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. I'm a debtor. So we understand, first of all, why we are debtors. We deserve judgment. God offered us a free gift. And that gift is eternal life, and He paid the price for it. Well, then the question becomes, to whom are we debtors? And I think it's best answered in the negative, to whom we're not debtors. Back here in the passage that we read in Romans chapter 8, you'll notice he said there in verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Notice what he says, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. I want you to get that. I'm not a debtor to my flesh. I owe my flesh nothing. And yet today, even in our churches, unfortunately, we live to please ourselves. We buy what we want. We get what we want. I wonder how many folks have not done hardly anything in missions, in faith promise missions giving, helping to get missionaries to the mission field, while they sit and watch their 55-inch flat screen TV and $100 and some a month cable payment. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to necessarily have those things, but it's amazing how, well, Lord, we'll give you something that's left over once we've taken care of what our flesh wants, what we desire for us. Somewhere along the line, God ought to be first. He is the one that we are first debtors to. We're not debtors to the flesh. I want a new car. I want new golf clubs. I want another computer. I want a bigger boat. I want a nice pool. The wants are the things that get people into trouble. I mean, society tells us you only go around once in life. You owe it to yourself. You deserve it. No, you don't. You're saved. You're a debtor. You're a debtor. And I submit to you, honest people, pay their debts. Well, then who are we debtors to? Well, since it's not to the flesh, he goes on in this passage in Romans chapter 8 to say this, beginning when we get to verse 13. For if we live in the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Number one, we're debtors to the Spirit. When you consider that it is the Spirit of God, first of all, pardon me, who even gave us the Word of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You realize none of us would have a clue as to how to get saved if the Holy Spirit of God did not give us the Word of God. The Bible says when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness because I go to My Father and me see Me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Listen, even with the Word of God, I would not have had any conviction about my sin and my lost condition if the Spirit of God had not convicted me of my sin. How long did He have to woo you before you finally came to Christ? I know it was months and months that He wooed me, that He gave me the Word of God and brought, made the Word of God personal to me to let me know that I was lost and on my way to hell and that Jesus Christ was the only way to be saved. That conviction was the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Now, a lost person doesn't know what the conviction of the Holy Ghost is. After you get saved, you recognize what was going on. You recognize then that was the Spirit of God that was doing that to you. But before I got saved, I just felt guilty because of my sin. I felt in danger because I knew I was lost. The reason I got saved, because I was convinced by the Word of God that I was going to burn in hell if I didn't get born again. Now, where did I get that conviction? The Spirit of God used the Word of God that He gave to put me under that conviction. I am a debtor to the Spirit of God. And then when I trusted Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God gave me new life. And the Spirit of God took up residence within me. He indwells me. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. But He dwells within me. He keeps me. He has sealed me. That's one of the reasons that I can't ever die and go to hell. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God unto the day of redemption. I am a debtor to the Spirit of God. And I dare say we are debtors. Not only that, I'm not just a debtor to the Spirit of God, but I'm a debtor to people. Back here in Romans chapter 1, go back to it and look at it. In Romans chapter 1, pardon me. He says in verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Now here's a Jewish man saying, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Those were people that hated the Jews. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. So as much as in me is. You talk about a wide gulf, you can't get much wider than that. He says unto the wise, to the unwise. So you've got the racial barrier between the Greeks and the barbarians. Then you've got the societal and the cultural barriers between the wise and the unwise. Between the couth and the uncouth, if you please. Between those who know a little bit about etiquette. You know, there's normal people etiquette and then there's redneck etiquette. Isn't that right? I mean, normal people etiquette, you don't clean your ears with your car keys. Redneck etiquette, you use your truck keys to clean your ears. Amen. There's a difference. The wise and the unwise. By the way, that'll gum up your ignition. We've got some people that have learned that by accident. Basically, what he's saying is, we're debtors to everybody. It doesn't make any difference what the racial barriers may be. Good night on this earth. You take a look at the number of racial barriers. And by the way, most of the race problems in this country, it's not a matter of race. It's a matter of difference. One is different from the other. I was looking at an old joke book, Brother Ross. I got a hold of an old joke book. I mean, a joke book back in the 1930s. An Irishman told Scotsman jokes. They both told Polack jokes. And by the way, why? Because they're different. Each of those jokes were brought up because they recognized there were some difference in people. And men among these people, there are some differences. Right here at Madison Baptist Church. And people outside of Madison Baptist Church would say we're different. Difference. And we're always suspicious of people who are different. That's a common problem. It has really nothing to do with the color of the skin except for the fact that we're different. Well, guess what? We're a debtor to everybody. No matter what country they're in, no matter what their culture is, no matter what their background is, no matter what they've done. You can go to some nations, like for instance, basically, the people of Korea don't much care for the Japanese. World War II had something to do with that, didn't it? There's a lot of animosity there over that. And you say, what's the problem? They're all Asians. Now, I know our Koreans that we have here, you can tell the difference between a Korean and a Japanese. I can't unless you tell me. But boy, they note the difference real quick. Isn't that right? It's that way around the world. That way around the world. And it's going to be that way till Jesus comes when he straightens everything out. Because man has a problem. Well, what's our job? We're debtors. We're debtors to all of them. The Greeks and the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. It makes no difference the color of the skin. It makes no difference what part of society they live in, whether they're the filthy rich or whether they're just the filthy. Makes no difference. We are debtors to every one of them. Why do we run buses to pick up young people that live in the different projects? Why do we do that? Because we are debtors to them. We owe them an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we do it. We're debtors. And our debt is to people. By the way, some of those people aren't very lovely. Some of those people treat you rather unkindly till they get saved. Then they get saved, then they'll love you to death. You say, well, preacher, how in the world does that make me a debtor? Well, now I have two daughters, and back when they were young, they were, well, I think they were normal kids. For the most part, they were normal kids. But let's say my daughter Carrie would say to me, let's say we went out to a store someplace to get something at the grocery store, even though I never did that. My wife always did all the shopping. Because number one, I'd forget what I was supposed to get. And number two, I'd bring the wrong stuff home. But let's say that we're coming home, and my daughter Carrie would say to me, she'd say, Daddy, she'd say, I'd like an ice cream cone. What daddy doesn't want to please his little girl? And so we drive over to the store. I get her an ice cream cone, but I'm a daddy. I get one for her sister, too. And I say to my daughter, now, when we get home, I want you to give this to Kathy. Well, right away, she's a debtor now. She owes her sister an ice cream cone. I provided it for her and her sister. She does not have the right to let it melt, even though often that's what siblings will do. She does not have the right to keep it for herself. She would be a dishonest little sneak if she did not give it. And as a daddy, I would punish her for not giving to her sister what I had gotten for her sister to get. God has given us salvation in Jesus Christ. And he's given us the message of salvation with the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are debtors to see to it that we get the gospel out to those people. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So I am debtor. We are debtors. Now you might ask the question, how far am I a debtor? Well, back here in verse 15. He says, so, as much as in me is. Wow, that's a lot. So as much as in me is. Now, you know of half-hearted attempts to do things. For instance, you watch a guy who loves baseball. I mean, loves baseball, loves to play baseball. If he hits the ball, he's looking for an opportunity to take two bases if he can. And if he can get three out of it, he's going to stretch every opportunity. As much as in him is, he's going to run it out. He's going to get as far as what he can without getting out. And when the next guy comes up and gets a hit, if he can score, he's going to do everything he possibly can to get in. You take the person who doesn't care much for it, doesn't really care all that much for his team, doesn't really care if he wins or loses. He hits the ball, and the first thing he thinks of, now I'm going to have to run. It'd have been easier on me if I'd have missed it. And so he trots down to first base, and that's it. hoping all along that the next guy doesn't hit the ball and he has to run some more. He doesn't do everything as much as in me is. And for any coach, by the way, you want people that love what they're doing. I don't care if it's baseball or basketball or football. And they give, they call it 110%, but we all know that's impossible. The reality is they give 100%. As much as in them is, they're going to do everything they can to do the job that they ought to do. All right, we are debtors to get out the gospel. Paul says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Take my daughter with the ice cream cone. So I buy the ice cream cone for Carrie, and I say, I drop her off at the house. I say, now you make sure that Kathy gets her ice cream cone. And so she stands on the front step of the house, and she says, Kathy, Kathy. Oh, well, can't find her. Guess I'll just eat it here. That wasn't as much as in her is. I mean, she's to go through the house and look for her. She's to call out loud, Kathy! She's not to sit there on the front step looking for an opportunity to give it to Kathy. That's how a lot of people do their soul winning. If someone comes up to them and says, what must I do to be saved? You'll tell them. But until somebody does that, you don't have an opportunity. No, you're to make the opportunity. You're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, I know they call it confrontational evangelism. You call it what you want. That's just obeying the command of God. We are commanded to tell them of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn over just for a moment to the book of Ezekiel chapter 3. This is also repeated for us again in chapter 33 in the book of Ezekiel. But right now we'll just go to Ezekiel chapter 3. Notice he says in verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Why? Because we are debtors. God expects it of us. Only a dishonest crook would not pay his debts. And we owe God a debt. He's given us salvation in Jesus Christ. And he's told us to take that wonderful message on to others. It's interesting that back in 1912, men were flocking by the thousands to Africa because gold had been found. C.T. Studd, the missionary in Africa, was trying to get Christian Englishmen to go to Africa to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He spent the last couple decades of his life in Africa preaching the gospel. And he wrote back to England, and here's what he wrote. Seeing all these men coming from England, in some cases, in many cases, sacrificing their lives just simply trying to get a little bit more gold. And he said, if such men hear so loudly the call of gold and obey it, can it be that the ears of Christ's soldiers are deaf to the call of God and the cries of the dying souls of men? Are gamblers for gold so many and gamblers for God so few? Today, people risk fortunes in the stock markets and mutual funds, get rich at home schemes and lose a lot, but investment in the work of God for missions takes second place. I do believe if you're giving while you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. We have a responsibility to give it while we got it, because there's going to be a time we may not have it and we can't give it then. But while we got it, we're to do it. Gamblers for God. But it is no gambler. Because who can outgive God? Now, for years now, I've given a few $1,000s each year just to missions alone. And we've raised it almost every year. We've raised it. In some cases, we raised it a lot. In other cases, a little. But we've done it. God's always taking care of it. God does that. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. You cannot outgive the Lord. So each year we challenge you again with faith promise. Next month, missions conference coming up. Faith promise again for this next year. I hope you're already praying about what you're going to do. I'll tell you, with each year, I'm surprised we have another year when we can still do it. You look at the world situation right now, the entire world is in peril in so many ways. So we don't look at the future saying, oh no, there's a lion in the street. We look at, hey, now's our opportunity. And perhaps we've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. As debtors, we're to do our most, the most that we can in reaching the lost. So let me ask you, child of God, how are you at paying your debts? So we send Michael, he's to preach the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, in the name of the, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. To spread the gospel, to preach the gospel, to preach the cross. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Or as he says here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And they're to preach the word, instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. As we ordained him tonight to the gospel ministry, we just recognize God's called him to a particular part. But that does not change our responsibility as debtors. The need is still great. The debt is still old. We've only paid just a small part of it back. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Help us to understand, help us to clearly understand our debt. Salvation was free. But Lord, you teach in the scripture, discipleship cost. We didn't pay anything for our salvation. Thank God that you loved us as sinners, provided salvation for us, though we were dead in trespasses and sins, and gave eternal life when we trusted you. Now, God, tonight, remind us again, the need is oh so great. Perhaps there's someone here tonight that's not even saved. If that be the case, then oh God, tonight I pray they'd come to you, receive the free gift of eternal life that you offer all that trust Christ. Have your way in every life tonight, for I plead it in Jesus' name.